The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Ange, thanks for joining us, sister. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We were just having a laugh because I asked Ange to wait a couple of minutes because I had my fake virus yellow t-shirt on and I didn't think that was appropriate. Not that it's not appropriate for me, but I didn't want to make, in case this goes viral.
Which we hope it does.
So I put on my, I've worn this before on a podcast. This is a mostly peace, love and light. And it'll go fuck yourself.
Oh, I love all of that. You've got to have a little bit of everything, haven't you? Well-rounded approach.
Well, I think we're going to explore that as well in our conversation today, because we've had your wonderful husband on here before, Shane, talking about breath work. And for the people that have been to the Evolve Sanctuary and experienced the breath work, you do it as a team. And you also do it solo as well, but you've done many, many breathwork ceremonies with myself and Nick, and also with the guests, and I hop in there and experience it whenever I can as well. I'm like a junkie for it because it's so powerful. So I wanted to start off with your story, because the story that you share with the guests and ourselves is very powerful, and it's a great way to anchor us in. So do you mind repeating your story for our viewers and listeners, please, Ange?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. And if there's something that I left out, let me know. So my background is I was originally born in America, but I say reborn in Australia 13 years ago, and have loved every minute of it. And prior to being in Australia, I was in the entertainment industry. And at first I wanted to be in front of the camera. So I was doing, you know, all of that and had some success and absolutely loved it and had a great time doing it. And then I got into the production side of thing and I was doing that as well. And there was quite a pivotal point there. There's a couple of things. It's like the stars lined up for me. When I was in like the peak of my in front of the camera was, and this story's around when I was the first season of the Pussycat Doll Show. I was on a reality show and I went to go do my solo and anxiety took over. And it was like, I had the bright lights in front of me. I couldn't see any of the people in front of me. And I was just, I completely lost it and went into a little bit of a panic attack. Everything went foggy and I went off on my timing. And I remember like, all right, thank you. And I walked off the stage going like, what just happened? And then, you know, fast forward a couple of years, I knew I wanted to get out of the entertainment industry because it didn't feel like it was me anymore. It didn't feel like it was what I wanted to do. So it was almost like that experience was like my body knew that this is not what I wanted to be doing. My body, it was like I knew unconsciously that this wasn't the right direction for me. And I, you know, in hindsight, I look at it and I go, well, I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And then coming to Australia, you know, knowing no one, going from like knowing everyone, and well, you know, a bit dramatic, but knowing lots of people in Los Angeles to knowing absolutely nobody, and just like only known this guy for 6 months, and I sold everything to come over here. It was a little confronting for me. And then I would go in for job interviews, trying to figure out what do I want to do, because I definitely don't want to get in the entertainment industry. And I was realizing that anxiety was coming up every time I was going into a job interview, or having little panic attacks, or even like meeting people, I was just feeling really nervous. And what I realized is it was like, it wasn't just the stage that I was scared of. It was like, I was nervous of the stage of life. And I went to, then we had two babies. Now they're like 8 and 11. So going through a postnatal depression, like pretty much I'd only been here about a year or no, sorry. I was only here 6 months and we got married. And then we had a baby, like just, you know, nearly a year after that. So it was like, bang, I was right into like married with kids straight away, still trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Then what I realized is that, like, you know, I became this person that I didn't know anymore. I was going through postnatal depression. I was building a business. I was having a new partnership. I was having a second baby. I was still building business. And I was like fatigued, angry, grumpy. And I was like not the happy-go-lucky person I knew myself to be in the 20s. And I was like, this is not right. And I'm not standing for this. So I went and spent, you know, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on self-development education, business education, you know, the mindset stuff. And whilst it was really good, it was like I knew what I needed to do to feel better. But there was like this missing link between actually feeling better and knowing what to do to feel better. And it was very frustrating for me because then it was like I was highly reactive and I was like, this is not me. And it was making me feel even more angry and upset. So about 5 years ago is when we really got into breathing and Shane, he's like, you know, he's all about happy wife, happy life. So he was like, you know, looking for anything he could to help me and support me so that we can all be happy together. And it wasn't until we got into breathing and really the cold immersion that I was confronted by how much I was resisting life. And say, for instance, in the cold, he had, you know, battled it forever. And I was like, fine, just to shut you up, I'll get in the cold. And I got in the cold water and I was so angry in there. And then a 2-minute alarm went off, had a shower, came back the next day. He's like, come on, you can do it. And I got in the cold water. He's like, why don't you try something different this time? Why don't you let the cold in? And I remember just bawling my eyes out. And it was a total parallel experience to how much I was putting up a fight when I didn't need to put up a fight. And my body was just highly reactive. And so then we started to deep dive into breathing because it was like when I committed to a breathing practice, my life totally changed. All of a sudden, it was like, we had various amounts of transformational sessions, very similar to like what we do at your retreat. And after one of them, I remember it was a very in particularly profound experience. It went for about 2 or 3 hours. And at the other side of that, I remember going home and the next day, you know, my children were little and I'd get angry at them for, you know, I don't know, not putting their shoes on so we can go out the door, you know, something simple like that. And I remember it was like my body forgot to be angry. And all of a sudden it was like, I just noticed that there was a certain peacefulness around me. And it was like I let go of the reactivity. I let go of the fight that I thought I had against, well, myself, really. And so then that's when I was like, there is something to this breathing thing, you know, and how can we learn more about it? So we deep dived into it and we studied from as many gurus as we could, either books or live events or trainings or, you know, whatever we could get our hands on. We're like, why does this work so well? And what I realized is that, you know, when it comes to our mindset and how we think, there's two parts. There's a physiological part of it, and then there's a psychological part. And quite often we have a tendency to go to one or the other, or alternating between the two. But it was like when we found breathing as a technique to manage our state or manage ourselves, it does both at the same time. And it was incredibly powerful experience for me in being able to make that shift from being cranky to being the mother that I really wanted to be. So that was it closed the gap.
Tell us about the first experience, if you can remember that, or I mean, you talked about the 3 hour, 2-3 hour experience that really transformed you. So Is it like the cracking of the egg, so to speak? Does it happen in one session? Does it, because you talk about this, and I've heard you talk about it to the guests, that perhaps one session is all you need now, but let's talk about the protocol behind this, or the invitation towards breathwork, because you called it a practice. Mm. And people, like, we have the retreat. People come along as part of one of the offerings that we invite people to partake in, and it's everything's optional. You either can, we invite you, it's part of the package if you want to participate, but if you want to go sit by the pool or in the hammock or sleep in, then that's fine, because we do it now at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. So they come into the retreat Friday night. We sit around the campfire, we have a nice meal, then we have yin yoga just to really relax into things, have an early night at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday morning now, 9 o'clock, we're into breath work. And by 11 o'clock, when people come out of that experience, they're changed, you know? And, yeah. and it can be subtle, or it can be right to the other spectrum, where I've witnessed the guests going, they've broken through some major trauma or major pain or major realizations, and from crying to screaming, and I've done it all. You know, it's a beautiful thing to witness. So sorry about my long-winded explanation there, but is it a one-hit wonder, or is it a practice, or is it something in between?
Mm. I think it's a personal call. But I've seen this with so many people, and the more you do it, the more you get out of it. The more you put into it, the more you get back. So, you know, if just a little bit is enough for you, then that's great. I'll look at it like it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to yourself. For me, that was my experience, and I've seen it in many people. It's like people wake up to their true essence for the first time in a long time. It's like they've been in their head for so long, they forgot to embrace the things that really matter to them the most. So to answer your question about, you know, first experience, well, you know, I did have a mentor who was like, before we got into the transformational breath work, she was having me practice 15 to 20 minutes a day. I was fatigued because I was on second baby who was teething, and I was not sleeping. I was up every 2 hours. And this was like, we were into 18 months, and I was like, just not well. And what I was found is I was falling asleep during my breathing sessions. I would breathe and I'd fall asleep. And then I would like beat myself up for not being able to do the practice because I was so exhausted. And then I wasn't sure if it was serving me or not. And then when we got into the deeper dive sessions, this is when we started getting more into the transformational breath work. And it was really just Shane and I at home sitting with each other. And they were quite intense. And what we found is that, like, in doing this with thousands of people is that there's, you know, 30% who, you know, or a third of people who love it, a third of people who hate it, and a third of people who are not sure about it. So what we wanted to do, and I've had a very similar experience, only I'm somebody who's like, I'm like a dog with a bone. If it's uncomfortable, why? You know, I want to work through it. There's something here because I want to work through this. And I would have sessions. I remember probably one of my first sessions with Shane. We were doing just breathing in and out through the nose, and it was really gentle, but it went for about an hour to an hour and a half. And I remember I had it's called a hypnagogic state. So it's probably the easiest way that I can put it. It's the in-between state where you're not asleep, you're not awake, you're in like a dream state. And I went into this dream state where it was like I was in a flood being pulled away from my mother, and my hands were out going, you know, like scared to death that I was being pulled away. And then I came out of it because Shane took my eye mask off and he just wanted to see if I was okay, because I had this look of horror on my face. And so Shane and I, like, we dive deep real quick, you know. So for us, it's like we go straight to the most intense thing just to see what it's like. We don't do this for our clients unless they want it. But we went deep into this first one, and I remember coming out, and it was like I took my first breath again. I just went and I just bawled my eyes out. And the second session after that, I felt like I had cold chains around my wrists and around my ankles. And it really felt like I had really heavy metal chains, like I was chained down. And it's like, it's really interesting. So, you know, in hindsight of studying all the work, there's two ways to explain it. There's a science side of explaining it, which is the gases are just highly imbalanced and causing a spiritual experience. But then there's a spiritual experience that science cannot explain. And for me, it was really interesting. I felt like it was almost like I was experiencing something that I felt like I was chained down. In that time of my life, I definitely felt like I was chained down. So my body was expressing that, and it was coming out in 3D effect. And then I got to the other side of it, came out of it, felt a lot better, had a big cry, and then felt like I just had this huge spiritual release. You know, it's like, when you're, it's probably like a really bad analogy, but it's like when you feel constipated because you haven't eaten well, and then you go and you have a big, huge release. It's like that. It's like spiritual constipation, but being able to let it go. And then it's like, once you release that tension out of the body, the mind and the body, it's like you release the tension and you can actually get to a little bit more of what's most important to you and start connecting with gratitude and start connecting with the things that are most important. And so what we started looking at is how can we create a practice to where those sessions are not as intense, where you can start chipping away at it. And then when you have the transformational sessions, it's an epic experience rather than like a I'm not so sure about it experience. And so that's what we found, like, you know, when we dove into the science side of things, we realized that most people are walking around in what's called, the technical term, a hypocapnic state. Hypo means not a lot of CO2. So when you don't have a lot of CO2 and you don't have the balance of the oxygen's not being released into the tissues, and you get things called, like, what's another technical term, ischemia, which is tension in the little vesicles of your body or in your muscles. So when your body is tense and tight because you're breathing in such a way that's not allowing the systems of your body to work effectively, it sends red alarm bells to the brain. And then the brain starts making meaning of what it's feeling and sends messages down to the body, fight or flight response. So then we're all kind of like walking around in a stressed out state. And hypocapnia can cause things from chronic pain all the way from personality changes. And this is exactly what I had experienced in my own personal life. And so what we realized is if you can start playing with the gases in your body and start learning how to, like we teach interventions, start learning the interventions to balance out the gases, the transformational experiences become a lot easier and a lot more exciting and a lot more groundbreaking. And then how you feel in between the transformational sessions is like you feel self-maintained. You feel self-guided. You feel all of a sudden more confident that it's like, no matter what life throws at you, you got it, because you know how to navigate through the waters of intensity in the mind-body system. And it doesn't override how you make decisions. So that was a very long-winded response.
No, I love it. And I want to talk about the techniques, because you said you've studied many different techniques regarding breath. And anybody that this could be their first podcast or vodcast that they're listening or watching to, like, what do you mean there's different ways of breathing? I mean, we outlined some of them in the Heal book that I released. You know, I think I had four or five different simple breath work, including Wim Hof, in there, just for people to experience, to see what works for them. So with all the different types of breathing that you've learned, how many varieties or flavors or protocols or techniques have you discovered? And then what do you, or how do you integrate that into a breath work session?
Yeah, very good question. So if you think about it, there's only like three things that you can do with your breathing. It's breathe in, it's breathe out, and it's pause. So any of those breathing techniques that are out there is a combination of one of those things. So putting them together, there is, I reckon there that I've come into contact with well over 200 different types of breathing techniques. I'm sure there's like more than that, right? But really it's a combination of in-out pause. So if we look at, okay, well, how can you use in-out pause? So then there's the places or the spaces in which you can breathe into. So there's the lower space, which is into the belly. Then there's the middle space, which is into around the heart, where the lungs wrap around the heart. And then there's the upper space, the top part of your lungs, up into the clavicles. So you can breathe in each one of these three places. And then there's also like paces, like how fast, how slow, what channel, in through the nose or through the mouth, or out through the nose or out through the mouth, you know, which one's better. So, you know, how we teach is we like to teach the colors that you can play with so you can find what feels good for you. So say, for instance, the thing about breathing is that it's unique to you. It's like no one in the world has a breathing pattern in the way you do. Nobody breathes like you. No one has the experience that you do. No one has the thought process that you do. No one has the physical traumas that you've been through. Only you have that. So only you can figure out how to work through any sort of breathing dysfunctions that you may have. So it's interesting. Like most people, you know, the general blanket sense that people teach is like diaphragmatic breathing, low and slow in the belly. But to the high performer, low and slow in the belly puts them into an anxious hypercapnic state because they're always on the go and they're used to being on the go and they're really uncomfortable with stopping and relaxing. And then you've got people who feel more comfortable breathing up in the chest because that's what they've done. So say, for instance, when somebody comes into a panic attack, most likely it is in the upper chest. But where the problem comes into play is when people interrupt what the body's naturally trying to do. So say, for instance, in the middle of an anxiety or a panic attack, you know, it's like the breathing gets rapid, it gets shallow, and then you kind of like want to stuff it down. You don't want to feel that way. So then you try to like hold your breath so that you're not breathing in a way that's making it more panicky. And then you're really just stuffing the energy down and causing more energy to be held within the body. But the body knows what to do. The breath is very, very intelligent. It's actually putting yourself into, you're going into an anxious or panicky state because the body's trying to normalize the gases in the body. So if you just let it go, it will normalize itself out. So we call it like the three steps. You observe your breathing, you do the breathing. So when you say do the breathing, you allow it to express however you want to express. So sometimes you might need to express emotions you don't have words for. Use your breath to express the emotions. And then you be the breath. So then it's just allowing the breath to come in and out however it wants to. So I think that it's more of like being able to express the energy that you don't have words for rather than suppress it down. So if you understand the basic things that you can do with your breathing, then you know that you can pick up, oh, my body's just trying to normal out. Oh, it wants to breathe low. I'm going to breathe low. Oh, now it wants to breathe high. I'll breathe high. Oh, now it wants to breathe really fast. Oh, now it wants to go slow. Okay. Let it all go and just be the breath. So it's like, it's a bit of a dance. It's a bit of a play. But if you know the basic things that you can work with, you can connect with your body and you know that your body's just trying to do what it does best.
Let's take us through, say, something that you do at the retreat. And from the introductory stage for teaching people how to tap into the breath and feel the breath, because you go through this process or this dance, as you could talk about. So, and I want to understand the intention behind what you and Shane and other breathwork practitioners teach. What is the intention with a breathwork transformational ceremony or adventure?
It's an exploration. It really is an exploration. And for me, like as a facilitator, it's like, we'll give you the tools to find what feels good and what doesn't feel good. So if you know, so say for instance, you know, if we're taking you through, you know, some breathing in the lower and it's fast and it's full and it feels really intense. And some people love that, but some people hate that. So it's like, you can feel what it feels like for you and you know where your boundaries are. So if you know where your boundaries are, you know that you might be ready to cross those and bust out of your comfort zone, or you might know, you know what, I'm not ready for this, but maybe I'm ready for something else, and you might back it off. You know, so it's like we teach you these the way to navigate through the transformational session, because it's important. Because yes, the transformational session is like a hero's journey. There will always come a time in the transformational session where you're like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can breathe anymore. What am I doing here? You know, whatever your self-talk is for that, you know, individually will come up in those sessions, and you'll have an opportunity to breathe through it in a way that that you feel confident. Or if you're normally a type of person who does that, you know, what happens if you do something else? It's like, it really is a push or pull. And that's why we experience like 10 different breathing sessions. Like if you experience 10 different breathing sessions, you're going to know what are your habits when it comes to breathing. And this is where you start to really unlock a lot of unconscious knowledge, is in your breathing habits. So there's like breathing habits in a transformational session. Say, for instance, when you come upon something that is confronting, what happens? Some people fall asleep. Some people cry. Some people hold all the energy and tension. But if you keep breathing past that, what's on the other side of wanting to give up, or what's on the other side of wanting to fall asleep to the intensity of life around you? So there's always like parallel experiences. So the idea that we like to set it up for is, let's take you through the paces. Let's take you through the spaces. You'll know what feels good, what doesn't feel good. So then when we take you in through the transformational session, you can go, ah, I know what to do here. And the key is rhythm, getting into a rhythm, getting into a new rhythm, or breaking out of an old rhythm. And that's where you start creating new breathing habits. So like, for instance, falling asleep when it gets too intense, you know, we found that quite often those people have a tendency to be tired and exhausted in life, and they just want to fall asleep and they don't want to confront the energy that's in front of them. You know, so they may be changing jobs or changing careers, or maybe there's, you know, for me, it was like I had a new baby. So I was going from, you know, it was definitely a transitional phase for me, you know, and then taking that out away from the mat and into everyday life, you know, observing the breath when you're confronted. And do you go into panic and anxiety? Do you try to control it? Do you allow it to express itself? Do you not want to express yourself? Do you not want to be heard? Do you, you know, and all these things you can start to become aware of, and you can do something different.
Talk to me about fear, because it seems to be something that comes up for quite a lot of people when they're doing breath work. And on the other side, we have the love and the laughter also expressing itself, sometimes in the same session.
More often than not. Fear is a feeling. It's a trigger. It's a I'll look at it like this. And this is just from my own perspective. I look at it like this. When there's a fear that's coming up, something that I don't want to feel, it's misaligned. There's a misalignment in my life somewhere. I may not know what it is, but there's a misalignment. So if there's a fear of something, what is the misalignment towards? And I go into inquiry on that. You may not know what it is. And maybe it's physiological only, or maybe it is mental. Maybe you know what it is. So for me, that's why I love breathing, is because sometimes you don't have to know. Sometimes when you work through the fear of the body, it becomes obsolete. And then you don't have to do the headspace around it. You know, that's like the gem for me, because I've done so much headspace work. And fear is a protection mechanism. It's something that is extremely important. So if fear is coming up, what is it that you're misaligned from or fearful of? And is it a true fear or is it a perceived fear? So some feel that.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.